grow served. Let's stand to sing it together this morning on our monitors twice through today.
Love, grow, serve is what the Master teaches. Love, grow, serve together and always. Love, grow, serve, we'll see how far it reaches. Love, grow, serve, show the world along the way. The Savior has commanded us to reach into the darkness. And love and grow and serve together.
Y'all sound so good, let's do it one more time.
Love, grow, serve is what the Master teaches. Love, grow, serve together and always. Love, grow, serve, we'll see how far it reaches. Love, grow, serve, show the world along the way. The Savior has commanded us to reach into the darkness. And love and grow and serve together today.
Amen, amen. Wonderful singing this morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of God today? I'm telling you what a great place to be, and no matter what's going on out there, I'm glad to know that God's in control of everything, amen? I'm glad to know we can come today and worship a God in spirit and in truth. What a blessing that is. This morning, the choir is going to sing about how God good has been to us, and I hope today, if you're saved by the grace of God, you can think on that and rejoice in the Lord of just how good God has been to you today, amen? You may be seated as the choir sings.
Confess to this reality. When I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me. Confess all my sins, forgiveness would be mine. And faithful to your promise, you cleanse the stain that sin had left behind. Just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly, assured me of your mercy, restored me completely. Lord, you've been good to me. You promised, Lord, if I'd confess, all my sins, forgiveness would be mine. And faithful to your promise, you cleansed the stain that sin had left behind. Just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly. Assured me of your mercy, restored me completely. And Lord, you've been good to me. When I think of all the many times I've been spared pain and misery, even when I played the fool, your unseen hand was there protecting me. And though I've had my share of troubles, I must confess to this reality. When I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me. Promised, Lord, if I confess, all my sins, forgiveness would be mine. And faithful to your promise, you cleansed the stain that sin had left behind. Just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly. Assured me of your mercy, restored me completely. Lord, you've been good to me.
Amen. Aren't you glad we can say, yes, ma'am, sister? Amen. Amen. Amen, Sister Mace. What a blessing. Amen. Well, ain't that good? Ain't that good? I think about her husband, Brother Bill. And all the years I got to know Brother Bill, our pastor knew Brother Bill so well, how faithful he was to God. And the Lord saw fit to take him home. Miss Maisel's still with us and still faithful. Still standing and telling about how good God is. That ought to help you this morning. God's good, friend. In spite of what you see in the world, God is good. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother that ever could. God is so good to us. Oh, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. I want to sing this song. I'm going to skip this other one. I'm going to go straight to Take the Name of Jesus With You, Child of Sorrow and of Woe, page 324. Let's stand to sing it together this morning.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of.
Turn around a fellowship as the choir comes down today. Thank you. As we're getting back to our seats, let's go into that second verse and take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. Page 324 in the hymnal and on our monitors as well. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of. On that third now, oh the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When His loving arms receive us and His songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Amen. Ushers, you come on this last verse. At the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven will crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Wonderful singing. Remain standing, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Brandon. Good morning.
Good morning.
Didn't the choir do an exceptional job this morning? I tell you, God has been good to us today. And I was just this morning thanking God for how good He's been. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, as parents, we have all these teachable moments that we miss opportunity, you know, that even the fact you got food on your table, you could thank God for and teach your children. Be thankful for that. And too often we miss all the blessings of God because we're concerned with what we don't have. And God's been good to you this morning. It is good to see you. Good to be back in God's house. Good to have some of you back from vacation and traveling. Got some traveling this week as well. And in just a few more weeks, praise the Lord, school will be back in, and you can't go to the beach every week. Amen. So we're hoping and praying for school. Amen. The kids are going, no, preacher, no, please, no. Hey, I didn't set the rules. They did. But we're glad to see you this morning. Our teens are going to be leaving this afternoon, going to teen camp for the week. And so I want you to pray for them. And if we've got a first-time guest here, we're thankful to have you. And if you would, make sure you fill out that connection card that you got in the bulletin. Drop it in the offering plate. I want to remind you of something that we're going to do in the month of July and August as well. Most of you know our missionary, Brother Travis Baker, is in North Dakota. And they have purchased property up there, and they're having to do some remodeling. It was actually a storefront building. I say storefront, probably a little bigger than what we would consider a storefront, probably a little smaller than a grocery store type deal. And they've actually bought that property and are going in and remodeling it to set it up for church. It's not really ready to be used for church. And so anyway, we're going to raise money for July and August. Special love offering we want to take for them for July and August, and we'll send that to them at the end of August to help them with expenses. I know they've got to buy pews, and they've got to do the sheetrock and paint and tile and carpet and all of those things. Now, if you want to go up there for a month and help him, I know he'd appreciate the help, but a lot of people, that's not feasible. So if you will, on your offering envelope, when you give towards that, there should be a place for other. If you'll just put Travis Baker offering in there or something of that nature, so we'll know that it goes to that. And again, that'll be July and August. So if you don't have it to give today, you've got 2 months. But let's not wait till the last Sunday in August to do that. But please pray about what you can help with that. And if you can, listen, I know God will bless you for it. But we want to be a blessing to him. I'd like to send him, you know, $5,000 to $10,000, I think, would be a great help to him. And so, whatever the Lord provides through love offerings, what we want to do. And so, you pray about what to give as an individual, as a family. And like I said, just put it on your offering envelope and let us know how much is going towards that. Okay. Well, that's all I got to say. I've said enough there. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering. And so, again, we thank you for being here. Some of you need to smile if God's been good to you this morning. So let's pray, and you be seated, and we'll receive our offering. Brother Eddie, you pray for us, please.
In thy precious name, we thank you, Lord, for this great day you have allowed us, Lord, to come back to worship upon thy name, Father. Just so thankful for the wonderful spirit that's in the church, Lord. And I pray, God, you just blessed us already so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the songs we sung. God, help us not to forget, Lord, where you brought us from, Lord, and how much you've done for us, God. And as the song says, you've been so good to us. And Lord, help us just not take it for granted, Lord. And thank you, Lord, what you're going to do for us. And I pray you just bless in this service today, Lord. I pray, God, open our hearts, Lord, we can see the word of God. And I pray, Lord, help one today, Lord, if they're not saved, Lord, today. I pray, God, you would open their hearts, Lord, and help them to come all to repentance, Father. And I pray, God, you just, those that might be cold and indifferent, Lord, you warm their hearts around the altar, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the ones that have come out today, Father. Bless all the ministries of our church, Lord. Bless this offering. I pray, God, just bless Brother Travis, Lord, and his work there, God. I pray, Lord, that you will get the money to come in, Lord, for his work, Lord. And I pray, God, help us, Lord, to give to it, Father. Thank you, Lord, what you could do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
From the field, a child to his mother, tell his hair they're on me, dying during that day. didn't tell anyone. She ran straight to the man of God. And if anybody asked her, she replied, "Well, the only way is well. It is well. There's peace in my despair, knowing God was heard my prayer, and I will cling to the promise that He brings. Even death will have no sting, no power in hell.
In His presence I
will dwell. Amen.
Where it is well."
Elisha stood by the bedside, where she led the boy when he died.
He prayed a prayer upon him, and he breathed new life again. Friend, God doesn't ever change. If you'll have that woman's faith, He'll send you a miracle. But until then, you can say, "It is well. It is well. There is peace in my despair, knowing God will hear my prayer, and I will cling to the promise that He brings. Even death will have no sting, no power in hell.
In His presence I
dwell. Where it is well. It is well. There is peace in my despair, knowing God will hear my prayer, and I will plead to the promise that He brings. Even death will have no sting, no power in hell.
In His presence I dwell.
Where it is well.
Appreciate the good song. I'm glad I believe God. Thieves and liars and murderers. That's just in the government.
That's right.
And now in 2016, we do not understand why the world is like it is. I'll tell you why. Because we've told God we don't want you.
That's right.
We look at our politics and we think if we can get a Republican or a businessman or first woman, first African-American, it's going to change everything about our politics. If we could just have some dialogue, it would change everything. It won't, because it's not a skin color problem. It's not a gender problem. It's a sin problem. And until we deal with the sin problem, we're never going to see America do anything. And I made this statement. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. And that's fine. But I'll be honest with you. I think America's done. You say, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, let me say this. First of all, I am a citizen of this country, but I'm a citizen of a higher country. And I'm afraid what's going on, Christians, we're more concerned about the red, white, and blue. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm patriotic. I love America, and I pray that America will turn. But here's what I'm seeing is this. We're getting what we asked for. This nation's getting what it asked for, and it's not what we wanted. And you see, when Israel turned their back on God, God took his hand off. And they went into bondage every single time. And they repented. Here's the problem. America doesn't want to repent. And so I'm not fatalistic in saying that I don't love America. I do. My heart breaks. But I do not believe in my heart, Brother Mark, that we will. I was telling our Sunday school class, I said, I don't think I'll ever see retirement. Not because I'm going to have to work till I'm 90. I believe in my heart. When you look across the landscape of time, the Lord's coming back. And you say that, but listen, you better know it. Because it is breakneck speed of what's going on, prophetically. It is the days are becoming more evil. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times will come. It's dangerous. And so I want you to look in your Bible at Ephesians 5 and Romans chapter 13. Our scripture is going to be from Ephesians 5. Now again, I know before you turn me off and you say, I'm not going to listen to him, he said America's done. If we don't turn back to God, we're done. I don't care who you vote for. God's the only thing going to change this nation. So we can look at the politics. We can look at our society. But what burdens me is God's people. Because we're the hope for America. And if the church doesn't rise up, we're finished. The Bible said in Ephesians 5, let's start in Romans 13, verse 11 and 12. And our scripture verse will be Ephesians 5 this morning. The Bible said in Romans 13, notice this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Ephesians 5 verse 14 through 16 says this, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Notice this, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Romans 8 gives us a command to awake. And as I look across churches and Christians, the biggest problem is not fornication, it's not adultery, it's not drinking liquor. And by the way, I'm against all those things. I'm against social drinking. I'm against smoking dope. Hey, listen, our big problem is not all of that. Our biggest problem, Brother Kenneth, is we're asleep. We're walking around like spiritual zombies, and we cannot see that the days are evil. Now, we see it. We'll watch the news and we'll go, Brother Brandon, all this awful. I wish somebody would come in, step in, and would close down the border. And I wish somebody would come in and change the economy. And I wish somebody would come in and help these police officers. And I wish somebody would change it all. My friend, I'm telling you, we're getting what we've asked for. And it's not what we want. And the only way for anything to change is for Christians to wake up. And stop playing the game. And by the way, get your head out of social media. Get your head out of your computer. Get it out of the entertainment. I stream every movie off of Netflix. Our problem, friend, is we're being distracted by the devices of the devil while our nation is going down a slippery road, while our children, our churches, we're seeing an apathy and lethargic Christians that just want to go through the motions. Boy, I'm excited to see what is going on in Burlington, and praise God for that. I heard in Yadkinville they're going in their second week of revival, and up in the mountains they're going through several weeks of revival. But friend, I'm telling you this. Going to a tent's not going to fix the problem. And don't get me wrong, I'm not critical. I praise God for what's going on. But it ought to charge people up to realize that, man, we got to do something out in this world. It's time. It's time. It's time that we stop looking for a Savior in Washington and start looking to heaven and realizing that it's time for Christians to stand up and wake up and live for God again. It tells us what we know in Romans chapter 8. It gives us a command. It says, now, knowing the time, knowing. God gives us His Word to know that His return is imminent. It's at hand. It's time that you and I get serious about God. I told our Sunday school class this morning, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, I'm 45 years old, and I know a lot of preachers don't want to preach the Bible, and they don't want to preach hard because somebody's going to get offended and not come back. But I'm well past that in my life. I've been pastoring 14 years. I'm starting to count down, Brother Chester, how many years I've got left on this earth. You say, nobody knows. Well, I know this. I'm probably closer to eternity than I am ever before. And it's time that I get serious about what I need to do. It's about time this church gets serious. And you as Christians need to get serious. Because one thing I don't want to happen when God comes back, when Jesus steps back, I don't want Him pointing His finger me and say, why didn't you preach the Bible to them? Why were you worried about popularity? Why were you worried about the size of the church? Why didn't you just give them my word? And friend, if that offends you this morning, I'm sorry, but you'll have to take it up with the author. It goes on to say in Romans 8 that it is high time or past time to awake. In other words, you've overslept. It's time for you to get up. And understand spiritually where we are on the calendar of history. We're in the final hours and God's people are willingly apathetic and asleep. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, you know, as the Lord's talking about that church at Laodicea, and He said this in verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, He said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Literally, He's saying, because you're lukewarm, you're not hot, you're not on fire, you're neither, you're just going through the motions. He said, literally, the Scripture says, you make me sick. I want to ask you seriously, how does God look at you this morning? I'm just waiting for Jesus to come. We're apathetic. We're cold and we're indifferent. And the Bible tells us it's time for us to wake up. I wonder if, honestly, if we really believe the Lord was coming back. I wonder on Sundays if we'd be out on the lake, at the mountains, at the beach. Brother Eddie, I wonder if I just didn't get up on time to go to church. I wonder if, Brother Brandon, weeks would go by without us ever darkening the doors of the place that God calls us to be around other believers. I don't understand. The fact is, we can continue in our slumber, awake and stand for the Lord, because I do believe, Brother Johnny, He is coming back, and it's soon. Just look. And so let me give you three things this morning. The Bible commands us in Ephesians 5. First of all, in verse 14, He says this, wherefore He has saith, awake, awake thou that sleepeth. So He tells us to wake up. But what's caused us to slumber? It's amazing to me. I'm very thankful. I have very little problem sleeping. Now, my wife is even better than me. I mean, she don't, before her head hits the pillow, she's out. I mean, it takes me a little while sometimes, but man, she'll hit the bed, and before the covers get up, she's. But people have all kinds of stuff that, you know, remedies, and they'll drink herbal tea, and some will say warm milk. I've never got that. It's just the thought of that makes me a little bit queasy. I like ice cold milk. I don't think I want warm milk. Do you? Maybe you do. Maybe that's it. Some people take medication to help them sleep. But spiritually, I want to ask you this. What has caused you to slumber? Why would God tell us to awake? Why would he say, wake up? Because something has put us to sleep. And I understand we have every excuse in the world. Well, I used to be in church. I used to be faithful. No, we got to get down to the brass tacks. We've got to get down to reality. When you look in your heart, why are you asleep? Well, with a lot of people, Brother Rudy, it comes down to their dreams. Now, I don't mean what you fall asleep and dream about, zombies and monsters or candy canes. And I'm saying what you want to be. See, what happens is we're pushing from the day they're born to have dreams. Not godly dreams, but what do you want to be? What do you want to do with your life? What career do you want to have? What college do you want to go to? And it's very seldom ever, what does God want you to do? It's what do you want to do? And so we push them along that path, and then when they become adults, they go to a job, and they say, you know what, if you work a little harder and put more hours in, you're going to be promoted. You're going to have it all. You can have a... You know what I learned when I was in sales? The thing they want you to do is buy new cars and buy new houses and buy boats. Because if you were in debt, you had to work. Remember that old sticker, I owe, so it's off to work I go? The more you owe, you have to work. They're going to come get your stuff. But we've been sold in America the American dream. Have a house, have a car, have all these things. But we forgot God. And what has caused us to fall asleep is this chasing of everybody's dream to be the best at what they are, to be a great athlete or to be a great businessman or to be an entertainer or whatever it is, and not seek God. And that's all we care about. Hey, listen, people who work 60, 70, 80 hours a week for the paycheck, and they have no problem missing church, and they have no problem missing reading their Bible, and they don't care whether or not they come or not. And when they come, it's just like, well, no problem, I'm here, I'll get what I need and come back sometime, but don't expect me. If you believe God would come back, if you believe the Lord would come back on a Sunday morning, friend, if people knew, every church would be packed out. But we're asleep. Nobody really thinks that. Some of you, I'll be honest with you, you won't be back tonight. Well, I did my time. I came Sunday morning. But what if he came back tonight? Well, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Then come to his house once in a while. You see, what causes people to slumber is their dreams. And the devil's hanging that carrot out there saying, just one more step, one more step, one more, hey, listen, one more promotion, one more car, one more house, one more cell phone, whatever it is in your life that's your dream, it better include God, and he better be the center of it or you're asleep. It's not only your dreams, it's distractions. I was talking to Brother Fry this week. We had lunch. And he said, preacher, I don't envy you. He said, you've got more to deal with now than we ever did. You've got more things the devil is using to get people away from God than we ever did. Think about it, folks. You turn the TV on. It's in your face. Went for a jog the other day. I was listening to Brother Lester Roloff preach. And when I got home, my wife was cooking breakfast for us, and she was listening to it. And I looked at her, I said, boy, Lester Roloff has just blown TVs out all morning, hadn't he? I mean, he was just shucking the corn. And I thought, how far have we come? We've got social media that, listen, and I know you look and say, preacher, that's all you do is preach on Facebook. But think of what it's doing. I'm not against it. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a Facebook account. But I see people everywhere you go. That's all you see on their phone, is that little blue thing at the top. And they'll spend hours and hours and hours checking on people and seeing what they're doing. And by the way, if you're going to put your life out there for everybody to see, don't get upset when they find something they don't like and criticize you over it. Kind of dumb to put your checking in at the beach and there ain't nobody at your house and then get mad when somebody breaks in your house, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to do that, tell them when you get back, say we had a good time at the beach, but don't check in at Myrtle Beach and they're going, I can't believe somebody broke in my house. There's distractions. You know what? These kids have distractions. Thank God they're going to camp for a week. And kids, you know what? Turn your cell phones off. Turn all the electronics off. You don't need it for a week. Praise God, if you can't get over it for a week, you got bigger problems. You need to get along with God this week. But parents, you're no better. I see people sitting at a restaurant, couples. Put the stupid phone away and talk once in a while. We've got sports. Man, there was a day you didn't play ball on Sunday. You didn't play ball. You played it on Saturday. You didn't practice on Wednesday. Now you got travel ball. Well, little junior, listen, I played college baseball. I'm going to tell you, I hadn't seen a lot of kids good enough to play college, and parents are living their life through their kids. Brother Jamie, you've seen it. And they take them out of church and they're saying they got to play in 14 leagues and play travel ball. And they're burned out and they never got anything to do with God. The devil's got all these distractions to put you to sleep. There's discouragement. You know what? Some people just quit on God because they're discouraged. Well, Pastor, he's a hypocrite. I'm discouraged. The song leader, he's a hypocrite. I'm discouraged. So-and-so didn't shake my hand. I'm discouraged. They didn't call me when I was sick. I'm discouraged. Nobody cooked me a chicken pie when my 14th cousin was in the hospital. I'm discouraged. No, but the Bible doesn't tell you to be encouraged in people. It says to be encouraged in the Lord. That's where you get your strength from. Discontentment. And what happens is people just they fall asleep spiritually. I'm discouraged. I'm not going to church. That's like saying I've got some internal disease, but I'm not going to the doctor. I've got the flu, but I'm not going to the doctor. But I'm well when I'm well and everything's clicking, I'm going to go to the doctor. We get distracted, we get discouraged, and we'll say, I'm asleep. And then there's that disappointments. We fall asleep because we're disappointed. Disappointed in, you know what? I'm tired of people telling me this. Brother Will, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Yeah. So are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved, but I don't go to church. Then you're a hypocrite. I mean, think about it. For somebody to say they're saved and they don't go to church because of the hypocrites, you're a hypocrite. You say you're saved and you love God, but you can't go to church? You're a hypocrite. One, you're probably a liar. There's probably a good chance you're not saved. Number two, if you are, you're saying you're a Christian, you love God, but you can't go to church. That's hypocritical. It's an actor. That's what it means. We're disappointed. So we fall asleep. We're like children. We don't get what we want. Spiritually, we go to sleep. And here's the command. Wake. Get up. Wake up. Number two, the Bible tells us in verse 15 to walk. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Cautiously is what that word circumspectly means. It means to be cautious, and we're to avoid evil. You know what grace means? It's not a license to sin. It is a freedom to live for God. So people that look at grace and say, well, that affords me the opportunity to go out and do whatever I want, you're missing what grace is. Hey, the fact is that we're to walk cautiously means we're to stay away from evil. Now, I don't know about you, someone may say, well, will this church ever handle snakes? That proves your faith. No, that proves your intellectually challengedness. I do not like snakes. I'll go beyond that. I hate them. They're God's creatures. I don't care what they are. I hate them. Black, green, yellow, purple. And I know you come as a preacher, the black snakes kill the poisonous snakes. So's a 12 gauge. Black snakes kill rats and mice, and Decon does that as well. That's why we have Terminex, and that's why we have raised pest control, and that's why we have them. They'll kill the stuff if you'll call them. Now, if you want to keep snakes around your house, fine. But I'm not. And I'm sure not going to go in a place with a bunch of rattlesnakes. I'm not going to walk in a pit that has a bunch of rattlesnakes in there and say, well, you know what? I have freedom. There wasn't a wall up there. There wasn't a gate around it. So therefore, it must be God's will for me to walk among the rattlesnakes. That's what you're doing with sin. You think that because God doesn't smack you in the back of the head and say, no, that's sin. He's giving you his word. That there's no gate saying beware of snakes. There's a whole book that says beware of sin, but you will not avoid the evil. Now I know it's entertaining to watch these guys, you know, down in Florida and all that, and they jump in them alligator pits and they jump on the back of them and they grab them by the snout. But let me tell you one guy that's not going to do that. Stuff that'll eat you, you don't mess with. Seriously, am I on? But spiritually, what you're doing is you're jumping in the alligator pit, you're walking through the snake pit, and you're saying, God didn't say, here, God said not to be drunk with wine. It's okay to socially drink. You know what the first drink leads to? The second, and the third, and the fourth. You know what? If you like the taste of beer, there's something wrong with you. It's nasty. You acquire a taste for it. And listen, Brother Gene, when I drank, I didn't drink because I liked the taste of it. There was a goal in mind. But I just like to drink socially. You're a wine bibber is what you are. You're asking for it. You're asking for it. You're not avoiding, you're not cautious. And that the Bible tells us that when we're saved, we're to walk cautiously, circumspectly. We're to be careful where we step. And friend, what happens now is we're stepping in the wrong place. We're trying to stand on that fine line between, well, I'm still saved and can go to heaven, but I want to live in the world. You cannot live in the world. You cannot be pleasing to God and be pleasing to the world. We have to be aware of temptations and pitfalls. The Bible says the sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. Everything. And see, we have this sin issue. And we'll say, well, if it's not sin, it must be okay. But Paul said there's a weight. May not be sin, but it's something that is holding you down. It hinders you. We have to be careful and cautious about that. And that we have to understand that we're not only to walk cautiously, but we're to walk caringly. Why? Because there's other people that are in the same condition you are. Do you realize that, parents, when you get out of church, you affect more than just you? Do you realize that this morning, that if you get out of church and you decide, well, I'm not... Listen, there's some of you sitting here this morning, and again, I'm just going to be straight with you. You used to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Oh, you were here. And stuff got in the way. Your dreams, your distractions, your discouragement, whatever it is, in the way. And you're thinking, it's no big deal, it's just me. No, there's others you're affecting. There's others that are watching you. There are others that you claim to love God and come to church and come to revival and on and on and on. This is the place. And now they see you on Sunday night where they used to see you in church, and now they see you at the restaurant and they're going, I thought that God you were talking about. I thought you loved Him. Why are you down here? Why are you at the ball field? Well, Junior now, Junior, he's old enough to play ball now. See, when he was a baby, it wasn't hard for us to come on Wednesday night and Sunday night. But now he's at age where he can play Little League. It's not fair. Oh, I heard this. It's not fair. He made a commitment to the ball team. It's not right for him to miss the ball playing to come to church. What about your commitment to God? You say, oh, it's easy. You say, you're the pastor. Honey, did we not go through it? Our son played ball. They had a game on Wednesday night, or I think it was revival night. We had it at 7 o'clock. And I told Luke, I said, now you go tell your coach. I didn't do it for him. I said, you go tell your coach. We talked to him at the beginning of the year and said, we're okay with him playing on Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, no Sunday, no Wednesday. They had a game on Wednesday. I said, now you go tell your coach that you'll play till 6:30. Then we're leaving. Yes, sir. Went and told the coach, said, Coach, Dad said I can play till 6:30 and we're leaving going to church. He said, okay. Well, he did that because he was the pastor's son. He did that because I told him to, because as his parent, I wanted him to know that church is more important than a stinking ball game. I'm just saying, folks, it's time for you to realize that if you're not careful, what happens is people are watching you. And what you said 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it is, they still expect you to live that way. And when you walk upright, they're watching you. You're caring for the needs of others because you're the example they see. There's others who are asleep. Brother Mark, if you got out of church, you would affect people in this church. You'd affect your family. He's a deacon. Sunday school teacher, whatever it is. I'm just saying, folks, it's time that we wake up and we walk circumspectly, cautiously, caringly, and with certainty. Then I'll finish with this. Verse 16, notice this. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word redeem has the idea of buying back or weighing it out. You weigh it out. Is it worth it? Is it worth? I want you to see this and pay attention for just a minute. I'm done. I'm not going to preach long. This is the whole, look where we are in the scope of time. Look where we are. The Bible said redeeming the time for the days are evil. Let me tell you what's happened this week. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, so don't come to me and say, well, I don't care. I'm past all that. All right? You had an FBI director stand up and say, this woman did this, 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 and this, and if it wasn't her, she'd probably go to jail, but I recommend that we don't press any charges. You know what that is? Evil. It's wickedness in high places. You realize that this week, was it 5 police officers that got killed? 12 altogether shot? Innocent men that have given their life. And I understand, I know where we're at. I know that there have been some situations where a police officer didn't act appropriately here, but that's not the norm. And to hold every, it's wicked. And are we saying that then they're upset on the way that they killed the guy?
And then our president gets on there and says, well, we need more gun control. Our nation is being divided in front of us. It's black versus white, Christian versus Muslim, straight versus gay. It's all being done in front of us. Good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. And you know what Christians are doing? I sure wish somebody'd come in and fix it. Wake up! There's not a Messiah coming to the White House. There's not a Messiah coming to the governor's mansion. It's time to wake up. It's time to understand where we are. It's time to realize it is time. The Lord is at the door. I don't know if it'll be this year, next year, 5 years from now, but we're not looking at decades and decades and decades. We may be looking at moments and hours, and young people, may I say, you look and say, I got all the time in the world, preacher. You don't. You don't. Today's the day. You have to make the most of your time. The Bible said that life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. You think today, well, I'll retire one day. Probably not. Young person, you look and say, well, here's my plan. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to college. I'm going to get married. I'm going to get me a job. I'm going to serve God one day. You won't. You don't have that. You've got this moment right now, today. Not even tonight. Today. Oh, when the kids come back from camp, everything's going to be different. It won't. But when school starts back, we're not going to find something to do every weekend, Brother Brandon. We're going to be at church faithful. You won't. Won't happen. Because now's the time you got to make your decision. Redeeming the time. Buy it back. Weigh it out. Is God worth it or not? That's what you got to ask yourself. See, some of you this morning, you got to quit going through the motions. That's all you're doing. You're playing the game. Going through the motions of Christianity. I'm going to come to church once in a while, keep the preacher off my back. I don't want him calling me or texting me, won't know where I'm at. So I'll come once in a while. But you're not sold out. There's some of you here, you've made your little profession when you were 8 years old. Nothing ever changed. Nothing ever got any better. You're still as lost as anybody. But in your heart, you feel a little bit better because you said a prayer. But nothing's changed. It's time. It's time. It's time to live for God. It's time to get your testimony back. You know, once your testimony's gone, it's nearly impossible to get back. I mean, I'm glad that some people will forgive you, but some people never will. And I'm going to tell you something else while I'm on it. You know what time it is? It's time for some of y'all to forgive some people that have done some pretty bad things to you. And it's time to move on. Because once they're gone, you can't apologize. It's just not worth it. It's just time to move on. It's just time for Christians to live for God and quit playing the games and quit getting your feelings hurt and quit whining about everything. And it's time to realize that the Lord is coming back. And you better be sure, number one, that you're saved. I think so one day. It better be today. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, listen, there's nothing in the Bible that would prevent the Lord from coming back before we get out of here today. And if you can't look on the news and figure out how wicked this world is, then you're blind. But we're still playing games. We got folks that are not. This morning, Brother Ben's going to walk out this door lost because they're thinking, I got another Sunday. I'll do it one day. You don't. Those police officers didn't go to that rally that day thinking anything would happen, but it did. Those families are destroyed and devastated from one senseless act of violence that should have never taken place, but their lives are forever changed. You don't know. Redeeming the times. Now, today's the day of salvation. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, what are you going to do when you come back next week and the Lord's come back and taken all the Christians and there's a handful of you sitting here going, okay, where's everybody at? Where's the preacher? Where's the choir leader? Where's the choir? Where's the musicians? Why are we the only ones sitting here? Because you missed it. You missed it. What about tonight? Well, I'm going to come back tonight. And if the Lord's speaking to my heart tonight, I'll come back tonight. I'll get on the altar. I'll get things right with Him. I'll get saved. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to live for God. No. What about you kids going to camp? I'm going to go down there, Brother Jamie. I'm going to get away and God's going to speak to me. And I mean, I'm going to sell out for God. Here's my question. What if you never get there? 4 to 5 hour drive in a van, in traffic. What if you never get there? Trying to scare us, preacher. I'm giving you reality. It's time. It's time you get serious. The church, it's time we get serious. It's time to put the games away. Time to put the hurt feelings away. It's time to get your testimony back. It's time to live for God. It's time to get saved if you're not saved. Today, this moment, we give this altar call. Listen, don't put it off. It's time right now. Redeem the time because the days are evil. They're not getting better. Don't care who you put in the White House. They may change some things. You know what? They may make some things better. But the days are evil. It's time. Let's stand together. Let's stand by our heads this morning. No one's looking around. Have people come to the altar. Let's bow our heads. No one's looking. I want to ask you this morning, it's by an uplifted hand, if you'd say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Just want to pray for you this morning. You slip your hand up, you can put it right back down. Is there one? Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'd go to heaven today if I died. You put it up, put it down. Is there one? Is there one? Father, you know the heart of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl here. You know what time it is in their life. I pray this morning you'd speak to hearts. If there's one here that's not saved, show them their need of salvation. Show them they may not have another moment, another day, another hour. This is the time. Today's the day of salvation. We need you in this invitation time in Jesus' name. While he sings this morning, if you have a need, you come. People are already on the altar. If you're not sure this morning that if you died, you'd go to heaven, don't gamble. Let us show you from the Word of God how you can know you're on your way to heaven this morning. Maybe this morning you'd be honest and say, you know what, I've been playing games, been going through the motions, playing games with God, but I want it to stop right now. I want to surrender my life to the Lord. I want to get committed. I want my testimony to be restored. Whatever your need is, you come. Come on. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to try to stop you. Right now, he's going to say, you don't have to go. You can make a decision next week, the week after that. You can get saved next week, the week after that. But you don't know. You don't know. Young person, you don't know. You obey the Lord. Time. Come on. If you need to come, you come. If you need someone to pray for with you, we've got altar workers that will meet you at the altar and pray with you. But you come right now. If you need to be saved, you come. Sing that chorus together. Here we go.